Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we are honored to have Mr. Bob Sheeran, who is one of the organizers for the Protest in the Park for Chronic Pain Patients, which is a protest that'll take place at Union Square Park, Area 15, from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, October 20th. So it's coming up quite quickly. And I think it's important for all of us to understand the message behind the protest and what we hope to achieve. So with that, Bob, welcome, and tell us a little more about this protest.
Okay, as everybody is probably well aware of, chronic pain patients have been having a hell of a time trying to find doctors, get proper medications, things of that nature. We've, you know, bugged and pleaded senators, congressmen, and many more up to the former president of the United States, and we've pretty much gotten nowhere. We've just at our end point where we think, you know, there has to be something more that we can do to get their attention. So we decided, you know, a 1970 kind of protest, while they're in session in Washington, D.C., we'll maybe be able to get some attention for it.
Interesting. Bob, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this fight.
I'm a comedian. I'm a stand-up comedian. I broke my back. I've had probably 26 surgeries on my back. And when the 2016 guidelines hit, I was tapered horribly. Down to where it doesn't seem to help. I have a pain pump. It actually goes to my stomach and it's attaching into my spine so I can walk. I still have to go out and, you know, take care of my family and make sure all is well. And I got into the fight basically because when I started seeing these pain groups and things like that, I just decided that maybe I have a bigger voice because, you know, I'm known for being a comedian, and maybe I thought I can help a little bit more. And that's been all null and void. I mean, they just don't seem to care about anybody. So
it's tragic. There is definitely a number of people who feel that their voices have been silenced. Talk a little bit about the frustration you've experienced in previous advocacy efforts that led you to believe a protest is the appropriate course of action.
I actually have a good one for that. I've been dealing pretty closely with Rand Paul's camp. I'm a California native. I now live in Kentucky. Kentucky's almost a dead state when it comes to medication. You actually have to leave Kentucky, either going into Tennessee or Indiana, to get any kind of pain treatment anymore. I seem to be making progress with Rand Paul. He gave a speech at Fort Campbell, and he promised that he was going to help pain patients as much as he can by making sure they get on the Suboxone regimen and also getting us into rehabs. So yeah, that just happened, and that's pretty much what prompted the protest. So.
Well, that's great. You know, any progress is a big one, particularly with the senator like Rand Paul. Talk to us about the protest and what you hope to achieve besides raising awareness. Are there any concrete endpoints you'd like the public and the legislative branch to be aware of?
Well, yeah, and I have to be careful with this because I do run American Pain and Disability Foundation, where I'm the intern CEO, and it is a charity. But speaking publicly as just a pain patient, I want pain patients to understand there is 50 million of us. 50 million, that takes up 5% of the voting. And everybody knows that only 50% vote in our country, which gives us about 11%. You know, pain patients have came to an impasse where they're either Republican or they're Democrat. To vote one time and all come together, then that's what we need to do.
Why do you feel that there is a lack of unity in pain compared to other disease states, such as abortion or certain pediatric conditions?
I think it is. I think that the media came out with props help, of course. People like Andrew Kalandi saying one pill can get you addicted. I think the general public has decided that, okay, medication is bad. And to me, I would ask them, have you ever been to the dentist and got half your face ripped out or had, you know, wisdom teeth pulled out? You're going to go home with Motrin nowadays. And, you know, for a lot of people, it may do it. It just depends on, you know, how the surgery goes or whatever. But don't ask that dentist for medication, because half of them, well, at least in Kentucky, they're not allowed to give you any. So it's just media perception more than anything.
It's tough because the media perception has been extremely strong and extremely harmful to so many patients that they feel disenfranchised. So when they see initiatives like this protest led by you, Bob, it gives them a glimmer of hope. For those who are interested in joining you, what's the best way that they can get a hold of you and actively participate on the 20th?
Actually, my email is bobsapdfky@gmail.com. And also, I won't hesitate to hand out my cell phone number. It's 270-348-6036. And then if you want to call me, I'll give you directions. I'm going to have my kids out there pushing wheelchairs and helping people that can't help themselves get over to that protest.
No, Bob, what you're doing is extremely laudable and something that's sorely needed. Can you tell us why it took so long to get a protest, given, as you had mentioned, 50 million people in this country are suffering with pain?
We actually had a breakdown from Harvard University. We asked the math guy. He broke it down to where he says that only 2 million are ended up on social media. Half of them are old. They don't care. The other half, you know, when we go to these larger foundations and we ask them, hey, can you help us, you know, get into this? They tell you opioids are a taboo subject. It will stop some of their funding. It will, you know. So now we're asking Big Pharma to jump in our org and help us. You know, we're like, you guys are the ones who are under fire right now, and we'll take some of that fire for you. We'll spread the word. We're trying to do commercials to combat these anti-opioid commercials. So we've been making a lot of progress and just sticking it out there and trying to fight these entities that are making patients suffer. I mean, this is just a horrible, horrible issue.
Bob, you bring up two really key points that I'm going to reiterate for the audience. One, you had mentioned the anti-opioid media campaign, and two, the lack of accessibility on the internet as one of the two main reasons why people have a hard time understanding the issue of pain. And then you went on to mention potentially engendering the pharma lobbying organization to help support chronic pain advocacy is a viable solution that you're seeing some, if not initial, progress with. And I think that's a really interesting point. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you came to this realization and how these efforts seem to be working?
Yeah, well, the U.S. Pain Foundation pretty much lived off Purdue Pharmacy, you know, for years and years, and with average donations anywhere between $1.5 million and $2.7 million. They, you know, got away from opioids, and we figured, you know, we've been beat down so many times with these different organizations, we're going to open up our organization with just this cause. You know, we want people to be able to have their medications back and not be treated like, you know, pain is an all-in-one thing. Everybody gets treated for the same. If you have spinal bifida and you can't move, or you have rheumatoid arthritis in your hands so bad and your hands don't work anymore, these two conditions are treated exactly the same, and exactly the same as everybody else in America, because that's all that the, you know, American Pain Management Centers can offer you is the same treatment, and they need to keep you under that 90 MME bracket.
Yeah, Bob, it's really interesting you mentioned the kind of imposed uniformity that all pain patients, regardless of the underlying condition or presenting symptoms, have to endure. And you see it as one of the key problems. Let me ask you a question that's a little bit outside of the box. As a comedian, you're uniquely able to relate to people. How has your skill as a comedian allowed you to better understand pain and to overcome the stigma of pain?
Oh, geez. I'd have so many managers and tell me when I was done, I'd always try to throw in American Pain and Disability Foundation.org. You know, 50 million people need help every day. And pretty soon they started telling me to shut up about it because they were getting complaints. And I kept doing it. I'd rather go find a different manager than have somebody, you know, tell me that I can't help people that are suffering every day. So, I think it does help because I'm used to public speaking. I'm used to getting up on stage in front of thousands of folks. And, you know, I think it helps. But at time, it also hurts because I say some dumb things when I'm up there trying to get my point across. So it's understandable.
Nice, nice. That's amazing. So with that, Bob, I'll let you go. But one last time, can you just provide for the audience information about Protesting in the Park for Chronic Pain Patients, where it is, the time of the day, and how they can get a hold of you?
Okay. My name is Bob Sheeran with American Pain and Disability Foundation. You can reach me at 270-348-6036 or email me at bobsapdfky@gmail.com. And the protest in the park is at Union Square Park, 12 to 2 p.m., area 15. And you'll see, just follow all the wheelchairs and canes and limping people, and you guys will run right into us.
You can't miss it. Bob, thank you so much for your advocacy. Thank you for organizing the first pain protest. This is a big deal, and I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you, and thank you for keeping up the fight, sir.
Okay, have a great day.
You too, sir.